For the month of January, on Sunday morning, we are dealing with the theme of how to increase our passion for God in the new year. Every lesson will carry with it the same format. That is, we will ask five penetrating questions about passion. The same five questions. Then we will look at one verse, a single verse in the Bible that talks about passion and what our passion ought to be. Then we will step out of the Bible and bring one quote from somebody in history about passion. And then throughout the month, we will make certain observations about how to increase our passion for God. And each one of these observations will cause us to look in a different direction. Now, our five questions, and I hope the answer to these are changing in your life from week to week. Question number one, what is the greatest passion in my life? Question number two, what would the people who know me best say the greatest passion in my life is? And what would those who know me best, would they say what my greatest passion is? Would their answer be the same as my answer? Question number three. Ask yourself, am I satisfied with my passion for God as it stands right now? Question number four. What is it that I would have to change in my life today in order for God to be my greatest passion? And then question number five, on that scale from 1 to 10, 1 being cold, 10 being hot, and 5 being lukewarm, how would you right now rate your relationship with God? Five questions about passion. Our single verse this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 2, and verse 17. It is a verse that is talking about Jesus, and it says concerning Jesus that his zeal for God's house consumed him. That is the passion that Jesus had for the things of God was a passion that literally eat him up. Our one quote this morning comes from, of all people, Albert Einstein. Einstein said, quote, I have no special talent. I am only passionately curious. Brethren, I'm trying to drive the point this month. I'm trying to get us to understand that passion can be the difference maker in our lives. That in our spiritual journey for God, passion can be that one thing that literally can propel us all the way to heaven when other things are as they should be. So how then do we increase our passion for God? How can God become the thing that sets me on fire? 2 weeks ago, our direction was to look back. And we looked back and we stood under the cross. And we saw that blood-soaked body of Jesus. Last Sunday, we looked forward. We projected ourselves ahead, and we stood at the judgment. Now let's begin. Our third observation. The direction we look today is I want you to look inside. Look inside your heart and reevaluate your motives. Now, this lesson is going to be built around three statements. We have looked back, we have looked ahead, but now we look inside. Look inside your heart and reevaluate your motives. Statement number one. There are wrong reasons to do the right thing. There are wrong reasons to do the right thing. I'm saying that you can have improper motives in your service for God. For instance, if it is the intent of your heart, if it is the motive of your heart in serving God to bring attention to yourself and not God, that's an improper motive for you to be serving God with. If it is the intent of your heart in your service to God to bring the glory to yourself rather than take the glory to God, that's an improper motive for you to be serving God with. And if what you're doing in the name of God is about you and getting attention to you and getting an advantage for you, then that is an improper motive to serve God. There are wrong reasons to do the right thing, and because of that, you need to look inside your heart and you need to reevaluate what your motives are. Now, let me show you something. This isn't scary, this is terrifying. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount.
So what we're looking at are the words of Jesus. Matthew 6 and verse 1. If you're there, say amen. If you wish you knew where Matthew 6 was, say help. Somebody help me. Matthew 6 and verse 1. Beware. Now stop right there and look at me. The English Standard Version, which I'm standing here with, says, beware. The translation you're holding may say, take heed.
Listen to me. Beware, take heed. What Jesus is saying with that first word, he is saying, I want you to pay very close attention to what I'm about to say. Look at me. Jesus is saying, don't you miss what is about to come out of my mouth next. Beware. Take heed. Beware. Take heed. Now, Lord, what is it that is just so important? I can't miss this. Look at the verse.
Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven.
Your Christianity is not a performance that you put on so that others can see you. Your Christianity is a devotion that is directed exactly to God. Now, wait a minute. Look at the verse. Look at the expression to be seen. Do you see that expression? Say yes or no. Underline that expression, to be seen. That verb, look at me, that verb suggests a theatrical performance. This is somebody who, in the name of God, is putting on this theatrical performance so that other people can look at them, and it's got nothing to do with God. Look at the verse. See, the expression will have no reward from your Father. Do you see that expression? Underline that expression. That means that if the motive of your heart is for you to put on a religious show so that others can see you and not praise God, then you need to understand what that motive is getting you. That motive will get you a reward. That motive will only get you praise from those whom you have fooled with your performance, but God is not in it. If you ain't afraid, you're not paying attention. Years ago, in the Middle East, there was a man whom everybody referred to as the holy man. The holy man. And every day, the holy man would go out to a very busy street. And he would completely cover himself in ashes. Those ashes were a sign of humility. Those ashes were a sign of penitence in his heart, and he is devoting this to God. So he'd sit out there on that busy corner, just baptize himself in ashes. So every day, tourists would come by to take the holy man's picture. And before they'd snap the picture, he would stop them so that he could rearrange his ashes and his expression. His humility was a sham. And his, quote, religious act had nothing to do with God and had everything to do with him. But what I see today from many is nothing more than folks who are rearranging ashes, trying to impress other people and not God. So Jesus sets out in Matthew 6, and he talks about three religious acts. Good things that were ruined because of motive, because of the heart of those who were doing them. In Matthew 6, verses 2 through 4, Jesus talks about praying. Praying is a good thing. And Jesus talked about giving in Matthew 2 through 4. Giving. And Jesus says they go out on the street, and before they give to the needy, Jesus says there are those who accompany them and they tell them to blow the trumpet. Why? Because they're drawing attention to themselves. Look what I'm about to give. And everybody looks and says, oh, how generous he is. Then in verses 5 through 13, Jesus talks about praying. Jesus talks about those who go out on the street corner and they stand on a street corner and they go through this long, bloated diatribe of talking and glaring on and on and on. Listen, it's about them. It's not about God. Look at him pray. Listen to him pray. Look how spiritual this person is. And in verses 16 through 18, Jesus talks about those who were fasting. And he says these people will intentionally disfigure their faces and go out there like they're weak and sickly so that people will say, oh, look how spiritual these people are. Brethren, you can do the wrong, right thing for a wrong reason. There are right reasons to do a wrong thing. And if we're going to increase our passion for God, you must look inside your heart and you must examine your motives. Yes, this is what I'm doing, but now why are you doing it?
there are wrong reasons to do the right thing. Statement number two.
There is only one proper motive in serving God, and that's love. There's only one proper motive in serving God, and that's love. Now,
turn your Bible to Mark chapter 12.
Mark chapter 12, again, it is a statement that Jesus makes in verse 30. Jesus said, "And you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." Now look at that verse. We are to love God with all of our heart, that is, with all of our emotions, our affections. We are to love God with all of our soul. That is, we are to love God spiritually. Loving God with your soul describes the person who is willing to go the distance with God regardless of what the consequences are of that action. We are to love God with all of our minds, that is, our intellect. Are you listening? That means that every decision that goes through my mind, I'm asking, will this show that I love God? If I do this, will it show I love God? If I say this, will it show that I love God? If I go here, will it prove that I love God? And then we are to love God with all of our strength, that is, our energy and our effort. With the energy of my time, with the energy of my talent, with the energy of my treasure. Now look at that verse. We are to love God emotionally. We are to love God spiritually. We are to love God intellectually. We are to love God physically, because you understand the reason we are to love God like this is because this is the one thing you can't fake. Look inside your heart. Re-examine your motive. You know what a lot of us need to stop doing? We need to stop going steady with the church. We need to stop dating the church. But a lot of folk want to keep dating the church because they don't want to fall in love and be committed to her. You say, "Well, I'm a believer," and that's great, but what we need now is some belongers. Statement number one, there are wrong reasons to do the right thing. If your motive is wrong, your action's wrong, I don't care how good it is. Statement number two, there is only one proper motive in serving God, and that's love. With all my emotions, with all my spirit, with all my intellect, and with all of my physical being, that's the only motive that's proper to serving God, because that means it's real. Statement number three brings us to the crux. There is only one way for you and I to sustain our relationship with God over the long haul. We must have purpose and we must have passion. I'm asking you now, please don't shut me down. I'm asking you now, well, I'm going to stop listening and catch up in a minute. No. There is only one thing that will sustain your relationship with God over years and years and years, and that you must have purpose, and you must have passion, and you must have both. Now, here's the difference. Purpose has to do with your head. In my head, I understand that God loves me. Do you understand what I'm saying? In my head, I understand that God loves me. In my head, I know that God has never done me wrong. Listen, God has always been right by me. I know that. I know that He demonstrated that love for me in a way that I can never fully get my mind around, when He allowed His Son to go to the cross, to suffer and die, to get me back to Him. It was the perfection of the sacrifice of Jesus that satisfied the justice of God, so that a holy God could receive an unholy man back to Himself. I understand what He did. There are a lot of people that I love. And there are people to whom I honestly believe that I would die for. But I don't know anybody I'd let either one of my boys die for. But that's what He did. Purpose has to do with my head. I know He loves me. I know what He did. Purpose has to do with the fact that I have been educated rightly about God and about what this book says. I have it in my head. Passion has to do with my heart. You see, purpose sets me in the right direction. This is the way I ought to go. This is the way I know is right. Purpose sets me in the right direction, but it is my passion that powers me, and it is my passion that propels me to go in that direction. I must have purpose and passion to stay faithful to God.
The church is filled with people who know in their head what is right, but who don't do it because there's no passion that's propelling them to do it. So, the last 90 seconds of this sermon is the sermon. The day is going to come when your faith is going to be challenged. The day is going to come when you are going to spiritually hit rock bottom. The day is going to come when you are going to wake up one Sunday morning and you're going to lay in that bed and you're going to ask yourself, am I going to get up and go today or not? If the motive in your heart for coming down here, if the motive in your heart for getting out of bed, getting ready, and coming to worship God, if that motive has been anything except your love for God, your faith is in serious trouble. We can't be religious from the teeth out. How do I increase my passion for God? How is it that I get myself to the place where it is God that stirs my heart? I go back and I stand under that cross and I look into the Savior's face and I think that is for me. I go forward and project myself to the judgment. And I stand there with the judge. I stand there with every angelic being in heaven. And I stand there with the throng of all humanity. And think, this is it. Now what? And I increase my passion by looking in my own heart and examining my motives. This is what I'm doing it, but why am I doing it? Your life at some point will crash. The devil will see to it. And when your life crashes, the way you react to the crash. The way you respond to the crash will tell you and all of us what's always been the motive in your heart. Re-examine your motive. If your motive isn't love, you need to change that. This morning, if you're not a Christian, you need to change that by being baptized for the remission of your sins. If you've looked in your heart and don't like it, don't leave till you change that. If you need to respond, may God help you to do that right now as together we stand and as we sing.